Good morning. If you're new here, my name is John Wagler, and I am part of the team, and the stand's not going to stay up. And just so thankful that you're here. I don't even know if this is going to work, y'all, but we'll just keep going down. I feel like I need a middle one. We're good. I'll just do that. I'm part of the team here, and just so thankful that you guys are here today on this Father's Day. A couple of quick announcements before we get into the message. The first thing is we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, but July 14th is our Hooray RVA Day, and that's going to be a day where we're doing a bunch of projects throughout this city, and hopefully we'll have announcements or we'll have signups available this week for you guys with all the projects that we have that are going to be options, and we'll sign up for those. But block that day off, July 14th. There will be kid-friendly projects to be able to do as well to make a difference in the city. The second thing is a little quick update on our space. July 1st is the Sunday that we're shooting for, and we are marginally optimistic about that happening, and there's been a lot of work going into it, and so you'll probably see some emails over the next week as well about some special work nights and things to do, and so we can use all the hands we can to get prepared. So we're hopefully there July 1st. The last thing is this: you know, we talk about giving here, and we've been doing it before the sermon instead of afterwards now, and you know, there's a few ways to give. You can give in the share boxes, which are out on the railing, or out by the elevator. Most of you guys give online, which the directions are actually on your seat. You can also give stock gifts, like people do that too. But those are like the ways you can give. But I want to say the reason, we talk about the reason why we're giving is important, because I share a story every single week, because it's not just about the discipline of giving. It's not just about money. It's about the heart that's cultivated in us, and then the impact that that has. There's no greater investment than or return on your investment, I should say, than when you give, because people's lives get changed and transformed. And so even when Corey was up here earlier, I was just sitting there thinking how, you know, he's new to our staff. He's our new youth pastor, and we couldn't do stuff like that without you guys giving. And so Corey being on the staff has really transformed our youth ministry, and our kids are incredibly blessed. Our middle and high schoolers are incredibly blessed. To have him as their youth pastor, and like, I mean, I was a youth pastor, and I look at him, I'm like, gosh, he would have been way better than me, like, as a youth pastor. But and so it's just really cool to have Corey on staff. So thank you so much for your generosity and what we were able to cultivate here in our community. So we are in this Back to the Basics series, and this is week 6 of it, and last week, the first week, we started off talking about what does it mean to be part of a church, and why does this stuff matter, and what's our culture here at Hill City. The second week, we talked about generosity. The third week, we talked about singing. The fourth week, we talked about prayer. Last week, we were in part one of what it means to, like, trust the Bible, and then this week, it's part two of the Bible, and we're going to talk about how do we get the most out of the Bible. And the reason that we are doing this series about basics is because the tagline for the whole series was simplicity creates margin for the extraordinary to happen. And we always want to concentrate on what really matters. We always want to concentrate on what the basics of everything are, because that's when we leave room and space for God to do extraordinary things. And so last week, when we talked about the reasons we can trust the Bible, we said we can trust it historically. We can trust it thematically, and then it becomes important for us to just see that we can. We went through a bunch of details about how it was put together and how the Bible is the Old Testament, the New Testament, and why that's that way, and all this other stuff. And you can catch up on that on our website. But we knew at the end that we could trust the Bible. And we could trust the Bible, and that the Bible was written by real people at real times, inspired by God, to talk about how people connected to God and how they got to learn about God and God's kind of conversation with humanity. And so we set the tone for what today I hope will be a challenging sermon as well on the Bible. With the first 2 weeks in general, or these 2 weeks in general about the Bible, my whole thought was, like, I just want to challenge us to want to study it and talk about it and learn about the Bible. But I also want to challenge just kind of how we think about it. And I think that's really important when it comes to the Bible. The tagline we used for last week's sermon was this, that a simple view of the Bible creates space for an extraordinary connection to God. And so is the Bible a big deal? Yes, absolutely. But here's the reality too. We can have Christianity without the Bible. Why? Because Christianity is not based on the Bible. Christianity is based on the fact that Jesus died and he rose again. But the Bible is so important. It's a big deal in our lives, and it really matters in our lives. And that's why we talked about why we could trust it last week. And then this week, we're going to spend the time on how do I actually get the most out of the Bible. You know, our appreciation for the Bible, because we love the Bible here, our appreciation for the Bible is critical. And what we get out of it really is about our approach to the Bible. And see, our desire will dictate our approach. Even when you think about if a pilot's landing a plane, his desire isn't to just land it. His desire is to land it in, like, so it's smooth. Like, how many guys have been on like a rocky landing, right? Like, the pilot wasn't have to be like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna rattle them around a little bit. Like, and so he's just land us, however. But so the desire is like, how do I bring this in a smooth way? When you were interested in that guy or that girl at one point in your life, your desire for them dictated your approach. And so just how you talked and how you dressed a little differently, like you got a little, like you're always in a good mood, you know, like around them. And so your desire for them dictated your approach towards them. When you think about your health, your desire for your health will dictate what you do. And so in the same way, when we look at the Bible, we've got to think about what's our desire for the Bible. Are we seeking out God's heart or just looking for our own? Like our own kind of just opinions? Are we trying to just justify what we want and pull things out of context? Or how are we approaching the Bible? Because that determines like what we get out of it. You know, we see this a lot with how people use the Bible for their own gain or for their own opinions. Athletes do this a lot. Celebrities do it a lot. I was gonna play the clip of Ray Lewis like a few years ago. He was a linebacker for the Ravens. He had this rant after they beat the Patriots. And going to the Super Bowl, he had this like rant about all these Bible scriptures. And I'm just sitting there being like, that's not what any of those mean. And you can use things out of context to just, like his desire at that point in time was just to, I don't know, just tell everyone. I don't doubt his faith, but like he just misused scripture. And it wasn't about at all what he was talking about. Even this past week, there was an atrocious use of scripture out of Romans 13 that was happening where our attorney general brought it up as justification for something that was happening here in Texas when 2,000 kids are being separated from their families. And this isn't what I'm about to say isn't about policy at all. This is not, I'm not making a political statement. I'm just saying when you use the Bible to justify certain, like which were really immoral actions, like you're it's an anti-Christ behavior. And it goes against what the Bible did. So even when he said, like Romans 13 talks about, you got to obey the laws of the land. And it's like, yeah, but Romans 3, let me just write to the first, Romans 3:10 says this, love does no wrong to others. So it's like, just read like a couple more sentences and like you'll get to a different part. But this is what happens. And I'm serious about this. This is why I'm serious about the Bible and like why we can't take it out of context. Because when stuff like that happens, and you take it out of context, and it kind of you are demeaning the Bible, you're demeaning faith, and you're demeaning Christianity and what Jesus actually stood for. And so I was angry when I heard it, not because of a Republican Democrat thing. It's not about that. If you guys have been around here, you probably don't even know where I stand on things, and I like it that way. But you know that it's not about a Republican Democrat thing, and it's not about a policy thing. It's about, no, if you're going to bring the Bible into something, then you should be using it the right way. And even when you bring in Romans 13, I'm just sitting there thinking, man, it's not about laws of the land. You think about the entire Bible. I said this last week, that from start to finish, the Bible is a protest against systems of injustice or oppression and anything that could hurt people. Start to finish. I mean, look at Exodus. What does God do? Is he's freeing the slaves of an oppressive Pharaoh. He's taking his people out. And he's saying, no, 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 this is not how this works. You get out of Exodus and you move into even like how God would speak to the kings of that time through the prophets. And then the prophets would respond to the people of Israel, God's chosen people. The prophets would say things like, whoa, you guys need to repent. You've gotten so far, you're buying into the wrong kingdom now. And because of that, destruction's coming. And so it was like very aggressive language, but what it was a protest against anything that was oppressive or systematic injustice or anything like that. Jesus, good Lord. He is good Lord. Jesus, like, he all the time is aggressive in his tone against anything that's hurtful to anybody. I mean, aggressive in his tone. And this is what made me laugh, like when Romans 13 was brought up, I'm like, Paul died because he was protesting against the government all the time. And you think, you're like, no, Paul died because he was a Christian. I'm like, no, he didn't. All of the early Christians died because they declared Jesus as Lord and not Caesar. So we can't take things out of context. It's important. That's why, you know, when you look at Hitler in Germany, you know, they used Romans 13 all the time to justify what they were doing. And that's how they convinced Christians to do things. You know, Germany was one of the most Christian nations in the world at that point in time. You look at slavery in our own country. You know, Romans 13 was brought up all the time to justify slavery. Romans 13 is brought up all the time. This was years ago, but to sexism and the kind of the patriarchal system of things the way they were. So the point is like, we can't take the Bible out of context, or we can't use the Bible to just justify an opinion. We've got to approach the Bible differently. We've got to have a different desire in our hearts. And that's what really today is about. Like, what kind of desire should we have? And so here's the first thing. What is required out of us is humility. If I want to get the most out of the Bible, I need to be humble when I approach it. If we start coming into the Bible saying, you know, I know this and I know that, then what will happen is you'll start being really judgmental against people. You'll start creating all these like really defined rules of what a Christian looks like or how things should work. And so when we don't have humility, we won't enjoy the conversation. We won't enjoy the banter about the Bible. And it requires humility to approach it the right way. Proverbs 11:2 says this, pride leads to disgrace. And this word disgrace, it's actually saying there, it means shame, dishonor, ruined relationships, contempt for others. All right, so that's what the word disgrace means right there. But with humility comes wisdom, and I want you to remember that because we're going to reference the fact about this cultivation of wisdom several times today. But we can only get that from the Bible if we approach it with kind of hands open and with a humble heart. So when I hear someone say something like this, I believe in the authority of the Bible, and that might be true, but sometimes I often wonder, do you just believe in your own opinion? Like, do you just say things like that because you know you're right? And so you're going to stick to your own opinion. Or what are you really cultivating? Are you cultivating the conversation with grace and humility? Because here's the thing. Not one of us in this room knows everything about the Bible. Not one of us in this room, not one of us in this world knows everything about the Bible, knows everything about its intention, knows everything about God. Nobody does. That's why this is a journey, this is a conversation, this is the way God works in our lives. And it's important to approach it that way, because if we don't, we will get judgmental and prideful and arrogant and divisive. And that pride leads to a disgrace. Whereas the humility that we can have will lead to actually exploring God even more and knowing God even more on a deeper level. The second thing that we need, and this is going to be the longest point, is appreciate the complexity of the Bible. So in order to get the most of the Bible, we've got to approach it in a humble way. But the second thing is we've got to appreciate the complexity of the Bible. My friend, my rabbi friend that I reference every now and then, I asked him one day, I said, hey, what do you wish Christians knew about the Bible? And he goes, I just wish you guys weren't so certain about everything. And I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, obviously I'm speaking, you know, with the Old Testament. He goes, He goes, you guys take things so literally, or you take things so simplistically about the Bible that really for thousands of years have been discussed in the Jewish faith. Like the ancestors' history of who wrote the Bible and what they have is this Talmud, and they have like these records of thousands of years of discussions. And he's like, people would discuss certain passages for so long, over hours and hours and hours. And he goes, and you guys are just so certain about things. And he goes, you know, it's interesting. He goes, then when someone's so certain, and then someone else is so certain, he goes, then you guys just divide about everything. He goes, that's not the way it was in the Jewish faith. He goes, even today, it's not really that way. That we gather around and we talk about these things, but we have a faith in one God together, and we discuss what it could actually mean. He goes, it's almost like there's a sin in certainty, he said. And so he goes, just pause and appreciate the complexity of the Bible. And I think that's important for us to do. And so you'll hear, do I believe in the authority of the Bible? And the truth is I believe in what the Bible points to as authority. You know, when Jesus says in Matthew 28, what does he say? All authority has been given to who? Him. And so even the Bible doesn't point to its own authority. It points to the authority of Jesus. And it points, so it's pointing to that. And so, but do I believe the Bible has authority? Oh, sure, but in that, it points to the authority of who Jesus is. And so, even when people are like, well, I take, well, the Bible says it, and I believe it, and that's good enough for me. Have you guys ever heard someone say something like that? Or the Bible, well, we contextualize a lot of things, don't we? And sometimes we don't even like to admit that. But we contextualize a lot of things about the Bible. And that's why it's so complex. And let me run through some examples. Look at Deuteronomy 21. It says this. Suppose a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or mother. This is good for Father's Day. Even though they discipline him. In such a case, the father and mother must take the son to the elders they hold court at the town gate. The parents must say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious and refuses to obey. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town must stone him to death. In this way, you will purge this evil from among you, and all Israel will hear about it and be afraid. I have not, maybe this has happened, but I have not heard anyone take their 16-year-old who they just caught drinking and saying, it's been a good run for 16 years. We just got to take you out to the elders. And you see all the elders just going, let's get it going. What happens is we contextualize things to the time that was happening. And so we're like, well, that's not the way it is now. And so what happens is in the midst of that, we realize, all right, well, what do we contextualize and what do we not contextualize? And what was good then and what's not good now? And so there's complexities to when we read scripture. I mean, in the early chapters of Deuteronomy and even in Leviticus, it says to kill all prostitutes. Yet, there's this magical story about Rahab, who was a prostitute, who helped Joshua in really a victory over God's people, but she was technically supposed to be killed. And then we look at Jesus, and Jesus loved on prostitutes and held them like kind of know what grace was, what purpose could be, what identity could be, and helped them discover a new life in him. And that was, so it's like, well, there's some complexities here in what we read and what we might see in one area of the Bible and into another. And so there's just a lot of layers when we begin to invest in what the Bible actually says. What about the violence in the Old Testament? You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, that's just the way it was. And I'm like, there's more to the story there. Like, let's invest in, like, what was actually going on and what could actually be meant by some of these stories that we read in the Old Testament. And I said last week, you know, some of those stories sound barbaric because they were barbaric. And so that was like part of what it was like thousands of years ago. But then you do this, you're like, but then you like look at the teachings of Jesus and you're like, they don't sound anything like the Old Testament. Yet Jesus said he was come to fulfill all of the things of the Old Testament. And so something's missing here in the conversation. Again, complexity. It isn't just simple, like, here you go. And so it brings contextualization. It brings like this idea of like, how do I really invest and read into the Bible? Even slavery, you know, technically, in the New Testament, Paul condones slavery. Now, here's how it's happened contextually. Now, what we'll say is, yeah, but slavery was way different back then. And I would wholeheartedly agree. Like, it wasn't about an oppression of people, and it was like more like a boss to employee relationship, and there were ways to get out, and there were certain benefits, and so it's very, very different than what we read or what we know of what happened in our country in particular. So it's very different, but technically, Paul still says, hey, Philemon, like in particular in Philemon, he's like, he condones the action. And so even when you see it, there's like, whoa, there's more to this story, because we would never, ever say right now it's okay to own people. So what does that mean? All right, there's complexity to the Bible. There's complexity to the scriptures. There's complexity. Why? That means you got to dig in and understand that we know slavery is not okay. And so why do we know that? Well, because we've looked and looked at the different layers of the story, and that there's more to it. We've got to appreciate that. Or last week I referenced this passage, 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do. What is right. And so this is a beautiful scripture passage where Paul is writing this to his friend Timothy, who he mentors and is a leader in the church. But here's the thing: when Paul says all scripture, and I said this last week, what does he mean by all scripture? The Bible wasn't around yet. So is he being prophetic? Maybe. Is he just saying like what was currently what they already had, like the Old Testament? Maybe. Was he saying all scripture, that anything is like a teaching of God is inspired by the Spirit, like that's useful to teach us and to help us and to rebuke us? I mean, maybe there's complexities to the scripture. It doesn't mean it demeans the Bible or lessens the view. It actually heightens. It gives you a higher view of what the Bible actually is. And so it's complex. Is Paul saying that all scripture is the same, all has the same weight? And some people will say, yes, but then yet Jesus teaches in Matthew 5, you have heard it this way, but I'm telling you. And so even Jesus says that, like, you've heard it one way, but you had it wrong and you believe this way. So I'm telling you it's different. See why it's complex? Some of you guys are like, this is my head spinning a little bit right now. But it's complex. This is why I'm doing it, because I want you to see the complexity of this. This isn't to try and confuse you. It's to try and get you to understand there's way more to the Bible than sometimes we just be like, oh, it's just, I'm going to put it in a nice little box. Like when we do things like that, we're doing things of the Bible that it never even asked us to do. And so it brings about some other things. Even when someone's like, yeah, but then you got all those inconsistencies in the Bible. There are not a ton of them. But I love it when people are like, there aren't any inconsistencies. Look at Proverbs 26:4. Don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become as foolish as they are. All right, you ready? The next verse. Be sure to answer the foolish arguments of fools, or they will become wise in their own estimation. What is it? So what does this mean? Is that inconsistent? Actually, no. All it is like, the Proverbs is about wisdom, is like understanding that, you know what? Sometimes you need to, sometimes you don't. It's trying to cultivate this heart of wisdom and understanding in life. Here's another one. 2 Samuel 24:1 says this. Once again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. Remember that part. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he caused David to harm them by taking a census. Go and count people of Israel and Judah, the Lord told them. And there's more to that story. So once again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. All right, so the same story is told in 1 Chronicles 21:1, which is just a couple hundred years difference of when it was written. Watch what it says. Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census. So which one is it? Is it once again the anger of the Lord burned, or did Satan rise up? It's complex. And it doesn't mean you throw away the Bible. It actually means just the opposite. We appreciate the Bible even more for its complexity. In Mark chapter 1, it says right off the bat, it says, Isaiah said, da, 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 it kind of gives like a prophecy in Mark chapter 1, but actually Malachi said it. Now, it was a little hybrid mix of the two together. Now, are there reasons for that, like they did it that way? There are, actually. But so here's why I'm saying all of those things. It's not because, again, I want you to confuse, like some of you guys are out there being like, you can't say this to people who aren't mature in their faith. You can't say these things. And I would say, no, because we have such a high view of scripture, we want to appreciate the complexities of it. Because when you appreciate the complexities of it and when you come to the approach it with humility, here's what happens. Then when some, it's like what I see this all the time, when high school students go to college and they get some random English professor or someone who's like pokes holes in the Bible or something like that, and they're like, oh my gosh, I thought you said the Bible was perfect in everything. Do you see Proverbs 26, 4 and 5? I believe nothing anymore. And it's like, no, just hold on a second. There's reasons for this, and there's complexities this, and there's a lot of answers for a lot of your questions. And then there are some things that have been debated for thousands of years, and that's okay. It does not mean that Jesus did not die and rise from the grave. And so here's what this means. Then we appreciate those complexities. We engage those. We talk about them and learn as it brings us into the heart of God. And so here's the third thing. So we come with humility, we appreciate the complexity, we embrace the offensiveness. This is my favorite part about the Bible. We embrace the offensiveness. If the Bible isn't offending you, then you aren't reading it right. And I really mean that. If it's not offending you, then you aren't reading it right. Sometimes you're gonna be offended by the amount of grace, love, and forgiveness that you see. Sometimes you're going to be offended by the direct and aggressive nature of like the teachings of Jesus. So like if you go to the teachings of Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, for instance, you could read those three chapters. And if you're not offended, I promise you, you are not reading it correctly. It'll just keep tearing away at your heart because you're like, oh, I'm not there yet. Oh, I'm not there yet. I'm good there. I'm not there yet. And so you just see how aggressive Jesus is and what he's actually pushing us towards. We don't appreciate the Bible until we are willing to obey it. And so like sometimes like the biggest problem people have with the Bible, I'm like, well, you don't even obey what it says. So why would you appreciate it? Of course, you're gonna try and poke holes in it or like throw it away and off to the side. You don't even appreciate what it is, and you don't even wanna obey what it says and what it's cultivating in you. See, here's just the reality too. Our goal isn't to tell people about the Bible, but to live in a way to prove its truth. And so, do we study the Bible? Absolutely. Do we learn from the Bible? Absolutely. But if we just take it in and don't live it out, then it doesn't mean anything. It's just knowledge. And so we're supposed to prove its truth. And what's the truth of the Bible? Well, the truth is it's pointing us to Jesus. John chapter 1 says this. In the beginning, the Word already existed. And this is unbelievable what John writes about Jesus. All right, so Jesus is the Word. I'm going to show you that in a second. But in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And then verse 14, so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And as we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, who is who? Jesus. And so the Bible in and of itself points to the authority who is Jesus, who has been there since creation, and everything flows through him. And that the darkness, he brings light into the darkness. Even Jesus, and go read Luke 24. Jesus points, it says, man, all of scripture points to me. All of it does. This has been the whole point of this whole thing. It's like, it points to me. And so that everything, so essentially it's like Jesus is what scripture's always meant. And so it points to everything back towards Jesus and his death and resurrection. So then even when we think about life, and I know I've said this a billion times here, but when we think about opinions and our lives and our relationships and everything that kind of flows through our brains and what we want to come out of our lives, it has to flow through Jesus. And if it doesn't tie back into what Jesus taught, then we're not right. And so Jesus is saying, like, this is the point. That's why he says things like, you heard it this way, but I'm telling you it's another way. Why? Because Jesus is like, I'm just telling you guys, this is what it's supposed to look like. That's why when we look at the life of Jesus, it becomes a model for us to look at and learn from. The fourth thing is this. Remember, it's not a rule book. So stay humble with it, appreciate the complexity of it, and remember, it's not a rule book. The writers of the Bible weren't sitting there back 2,000 years ago being like, man, 2018, these guys are gonna And it wasn't like all of a sudden just like came down out of heaven. It was like, no, these guys were writing, again, real time to real people, everything else, inspired by God, absolutely. And so, but what happens is it's not a rule book to just go around and be like, wrong, 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 right, wrong, wrong. That's not the purpose of the Bible. It's not even close to it. The Bible wasn't intended to be a rule book, but an opportunity to learn about God's conversation with humanity. And so the greatest thing, or one of the greatest things the Bible does for us is actually cultivate wisdom. And that wisdom is the wisdom, it sets the foundation for our lives. It sets this foundation for us to learn and grow closer to Jesus and to connect to Jesus on a deeper level. It keeps us grounded. Have you ever thought about, think about those moments in your life, and I don't care how old you are, you have these moments where you had this thing, you're like, I feel this would be the right thing to do. And you look at back, man, that was a horrible feeling I had. And you wish that wasn't there. But one of the things the Bible does is as it brings us closer to God, as it brings us closer to the heart of Jesus, and as the Spirit leads us within it, what happens is those feelings become more oriented to the things of Jesus and not the things of our own. And that only happens through, as we're kind of cultivated through a reading and an understanding of the Bible, because it cultivates this wisdom in us that we couldn't get anywhere else. And so it's critical for us to explore the Bible. Is the Bible the only way to experience God? And the answer is no. We all know that. The Bible even says that itself. So the ways that we experience God are actually primarily first through the Spirit of God. The Spirit begins to work in us. As we become believers, the Spirit of God is working within us. 1 John 2 says this. 1 John 2:27. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It's not a lie. So just as he taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. And so what John is saying here is that the Spirit, and we're going to do 5 weeks on the Spirit at the end of the summer, but the Spirit, as it's kind of working inside of us, what it does is it draws us to the things that Jesus taught. It draws us to the heart of God. It brings us in. And so the Bible is one of the ways that that happens, but that also happens in community with other people. It happens when you're singing. It happens when you're gathering like this. It happens when you're serving others. It can happen even by yourself while you're just in your time praying, you know, by yourself. So there's a lot of ways to experience God. It isn't just through the Bible, but does that demean the Bible in any way? No way. The Bible will be a source of strength, a source of comfort, a source of knowledge, a source of a deeper connection and an extraordinary connection to God if we just approach it with the right heart. We approach it with humility. We appreciate the complexity. We embrace the offensiveness. And that we remember it's just not simply a rule book, that there's a dynamic, a life-giving dynamic to it. So we got to appreciate the Bible for what it is. And it is a beautiful, life-giving, life-breathing thing that we should never ignore. We should study it. We should talk about it. We should learn from it. Why? Because it points to the real authority in Jesus, that he died and that he rose again, and that shapes our entire thought and our entire lives. Let's pray. God, we all come with a lot of thoughts and opinions, and my prayer leading up to this weekend was that that we would all be convicted to approach you with more humility, and that starts with me. And so, God, as we engage your scripture, as we engage what you have for us through it, that we would first be humble and then allow you to begin to speak, because that's the only way it can happen. And so, God, I pray that we will be folks that want to dig into the Bible, that want to learn more about it, want to study it, want it to help shape our lives. I pray that we will be people that will not only learn things about the Bible, but more importantly, live out the heart of it as you cultivate the wisdom that you desire for us. And so, God, we're so thankful for the fact that we have the Bible and can trust it, that we believe how you connect us closer to you through it. And God, throughout this service today, God, I know that folks are wrestling with faith and an understanding of you. And so if today is a day to just make a decision for you, I just pray that they won't let that go by, to begin to explore faith with you and discover really who you are. And then to others in here who are kind of have been doing this Christian thing for a while, again, I just pray for a fresh dose of humility and opening up to conversation and what you have for us. And so that our hearts are, that our approach and our desires are just completely oriented towards you. We love you, Lord, and thank you. In your name we pray, everybody said. Amen. Amen. Y'all, before you get out of here, dads, we've got some Pop Rocks for you on the way out because you guys rock. And we've got free Kona Ice on your way out as well. You guys have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you next week.